Welcome to this edition of Soldier Today Podcast. Our newest discussion topic, especially for non-commissioned officers and for senior leaders, is the Army's centralized promotion system, changing from a time-based to a merit-based system. For our discussion today, we will review the current promotion system used for selecting our senior non-commissioned officers for the ranks of Sergeant First Class through Sergeant Major. Then dive into the why, change discussions so we can understand the challenges of the current system and look at the transition period over the next 3 to 4 years as the Army adopts a merit-based promotion system for our most senior non-commissioned officers. So, this is a great subject to discuss, and the best person to have that discussion with here in our studio is our Sergeant Major of the Army, Daniel A. Daly. SMA, welcome to this edition of Soldier Days Podcast.
Well, Troy, I appreciate it. It's always good to come over here and talk with AUSA about subjects that are important to our soldiers and our veterans.
Cool. Well, SMA, let's get into it. So you've been an advocate for a merit-based promotion system versus a time and grade sequence number system from Sergeant First Class and above for at least the last few years, last couple of years anyway. So to start off, SMA, can you give us a review of the current system and how the challenges the Army is having today with the time and grade promotion system? I mean, what is the issue we're facing here?
Yeah, Troy, absolutely. And I think most senior non-commissioned officers and veterans out there are pretty familiar with how our current centralized selection system works. And it's unchanged since inception, you know, about 70 years, I believe. Really, what happens is we pick a promotion board, they go in there and they rank order everybody within that promotion board. So let's just say we're 11 Bravo 30s looking to go be 11 Bravo 40s. And then they draw a line. They say, here's how many people we're going to promote. And they take that list. And then they reshuffle it by time and service, time and grade. Okay, so you may have been number one on that list, but now you could be number, let's say, for example, 1,700, like me when I made Sergeant First Class. So we asked ourselves, why? Why is that? Well, another thing we're trying to get after is we do many boards throughout the year for all kinds of things, for promotions. And we're going to talk about not being promotion boards in the future. But currently, we do promotion boards. We do QMP boards. We do QSP boards, if necessary, based upon force management, standby advisory boards, all that. This system is going to go to what do we call a multi-use board system. For our non-commissioned officers, there's only going to be 4 boards a year. That's it.
4 boards a year.
4 boards a year.
Just to be clear, I have 4 chances throughout the year to get promoted, or I got 1 chance, and what happens to me at the end?
What they are is they're evaluation boards. We're going to go from promotion boards now to NCO evaluation boards. We're going to evaluate staff sergeants. That's board number one. We're going to evaluate first classes, board number two. Master sergeants, board number three, and sergeants majors, board number four. Okay. And they would be spread out through the year. And they are good for that entire year.
And we could get into probably a little later on, but I'd be interested to know is what happens if I don't make the cut that first year and I go back the following year? I mean, how am I ranked? Am I back at the bottom? Do I kind of hold my standing? Or it depends on the talent pool that comes in.
Well, Troy, let's just get into it.
You know why? Because
non-commissioned officers want to know, how is this going to affect me?
Right.
Right. So
exactly
we talked
right.
about our current system. So how are we going to change in the future? And how is it going to benefit you as a non-commissioned officer in the Army? Well, pretty much we're going to select the same way we do for promotion boards, and we're going to evaluate on the same information out of DAPAM 600-25. The difference is we are going to rack and stack every single one of those non-commissioned officers within that board. Let's say we'll go back to 11 Bravos again. We're 11 Bravo 30s trying to be 11 Bravo 40s. We're going to rank against all of our peers, 11 Bravo 30s in the Army, and we're going to create what's called the NCO evaluation list. All right, we're going to evaluate every one of these non-commissioned officers, and we're going to rank order you based upon how you fall against your peers. So if there's 1,000 non-commissioned officers on that 11 Bravo list, there'll be a number one and a number 1,000. You're going to know your number because we're going to let you know. There's not going to be sequence numbers anymore because this is no longer a promotion board. This is an evaluation board. But you will get feedback on where you fell out. That is one of the big positives. And then what we're going to do with the results of that board is the major difference, Troy.
So this merit-based system, this evaluation process, so we've had that from specialist to sergeant, sergeant, staff sergeant. So we're basically just kind of spreading it out through the whole system now instead of time and grade, time and service, date of birth.
Yeah, I mean, it's got some similarities with the decentralized selection because this new NCO evaluation board is going to allow us to be able to promote based upon Army requirements. And that's what we use for the promotion point system now. You go to the board, you become eligible for promotion, you go to school, and then you get points based upon the things that are important to the Army that you need to do. Those with the most points get promoted first. This is a centralized selection, so we're still going to evaluate against your peers across the whole Army. Decentralized is basically you go to promotion board, and then you're evaluated based upon your promotion points.
Right.
But if you're number one on the list, here's how it's going to work. If you're number one on the list, and if there's a requirement for promotion within your MOS that year, we're going to call you up and say, Troy Welsh, are you ready to go to school? And your answer should be,
yes.
All right, and we're going to select earlier to give us more time to train those non-commissioned officers. Now, we're not going to promote sooner. That's what everybody's going to say. Promoting too fast. No, we're going to select earlier. We're going to evaluate earlier to give us more time to train because we want to train you. We're still going to promote on the same amount of time. So you go to school, you come back, you successfully graduate, you get a 1059 that says you're one of the best ones at school, and there's a requirement that comes up, you'll be the first one to be offered that promotion.
That's pretty awesome. I could see where that would benefit the Army. As far as, you know, the old system, you got a long promotion list. You may not exhaust that, which means you just build another one the next year, and then you end up having more people within a particular MOS that has picked your grade than you need, so you start attriting people out. So this kind of eliminates that process?
Well, it's going to help us do exactly that. And that's probably some of the problems that we have with our current legacy system. Right now, we try to predict requirements for the future, Troy.
Right.
And there's some really smart people that do that here at Department of the Army and HRC. But conditions change that they're unaware of at the time that they predict those requirements. So let's say this year, under our current system, we have a promotion board and we select 500 of those 1,000 we talked about. And then that's the promotion for the whole next FY. But let's say the requirements for the Army change, that we have to drop our strength, that Congress told us to get smaller. So we've already promised those people promotion. We want to grandfather. We don't want to hurt them. So all we do is we take that allocation from next year's promotion list.
Okay.
And then we'll just produce a smaller promotion
list.
But what this new system allows us to do on a quarterly basis is promote to allocations based upon what is going on during the promotion year, during the fiscal year. Okay. Now, I know what people are going to think. I don't have a sequence number anymore. How am I going to know I'm going to get promoted? I bet you're asking yourself that question right now.
Of course, yeah. How do we know? I mean, how are they going to know?
That's a very fair question. Predictability is one of the things that doctors and officers tell us they need to know. Well, first and foremost, you're going to know based upon your number. You're going to know how you ranked against your peers and true score. And where are you going to find that number? ACT.
ACT.
That's right.
Okay.
We're going to tell you after the evaluation board how you fared against your peers. Then we're going to offer you school assignments. We could use it for broadening assignments. We could use it for career-enhancing opportunities.
So this is going to be a multifaceted list.
Yeah, we could use it. And that list will be good for the entire year until the next board meets, right? Then we say, okay, we need one non-commissioned officer, as we described. We send you to school. You get promoted. And we keep working down that list. What we're going to do is produce a quarterly promotion projection. And we're going to tell you, this is how many people we project we are going to need to promote for this quarter. So you'll still have predictability based upon where you stand on that list and what the Army's quarterly projections are going to be.
But if I'm number 600 out of 800, is it going to tell me how I can work my way up that ladder?
That's a great question. You know, that's something that our non-commissioned officers have been asking us for years, especially those that were not selected out of the previous promotion boards. Under the new evaluation system, our goal in the future is to be able to provide you one-on-one feedback on how you did with regards to your peers. How are we going to do that? Through technology advances like IPSA-A. So it's one of the things that we're working now. Take a look at the things that we need non-commissioned officers to do, match that with DAPAM 600-25, and be able to give you true board member feedback on how you did or how you performed, whether you were number one or 1,000. Right?
You're going to know.
You're going to know. Right? So that's going to take some time.
Right.
That's not going to be this year.
Sure.
Right? So that's going to take some time.
Make that clear. It's not happening right away.
We're going to start with ranking you against your peers. So that's first, that's evaluation you've never received before, how you did with regards to your peers. And then we're going to work toward providing you one-on-one direct feedback from the board system.
Oh, that's awesome. Why are we doing this now? I mean, the system, obviously, it produced the 15th SMA. So why now? Why are we changing this now?
Well, what I can tell you is what we have right now is not broken, but we can do better. So we spent a lot of time the last 2 years, a better part of more than 2 years, taking a look at can we provide our non-commissioned officers with a more effective and efficient means to promote based upon true merit? And the answer we came up with was definitively yes. And why did it take 2.5 years after we answered that question? Well, there's a lot of rules and regulations that are required. And we spent the last couple of years actually putting the preliminary steps in, things that we have already done, we were thinking about hoping to get this done within the next 2 years. Things like STEP, right? To get the cultural change effect before it had to come in play. Because we knew that there might be some angst until we could educate them on how this system really works. So we were preparing the non-commissioned officer corps. So the bottom line is we can be more efficient, be more effective, and most importantly, we can reward those people who are working hard. That was the most important driving reason why we did this, to not make time the primary mechanism for promotion.
Time is not a measuring factor for people that work hard.
It's not. It's not a knowledge, a skill, or a behavior. Right. Now, it does take time to build experience. That's why we still have the mandatory time and service requirements to get to be eligible for the evaluation board, just like in the past. But once you are number one, and the analogy I always use, if you're at a horse race and the gates open, the number one horse wins. They don't go back and say, when did you start racing and how old is the horse, right? Yeah. So if you can make it to the gate and you win, and you get rewarded for that.
I spent 30 years in the Army. I can't tell you how many times I heard soldiers talk to me about, you know, I work hard. I've checked all those blocks. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've excelled at certain things. But yet, Snuffy over here got promoted ahead of me. Can you explain that to me?
Well, the only explanation was they had more time and service than you.
That's exactly right. That's all you can tell them.
But Troy, one of the other complaints I get is from non-commissioned officers that I still have a lot to offer too. And our current system, which requires us to have retention control points, doesn't afford them the opportunity to serve beyond a certain number of years. So this is going to change as well. This is the beauty of this system. We have to maintain the upward mobility, predictability for promotion for our soldiers. Right. So there's got to be a mechanism to tell people it's time to transition to be a soldier for life. There has to be, right?
Sure.
Whether that's time or, well, we said it shouldn't be time. Time shouldn't be the determining factor. It should be merit. Remember, we talked about all the positives. If you're number one on the list, Troy Welsh is number one, we're going to call you and say, you're the first one to go to school.
Right.
And if there's a requirement, we're going to promote you. But what happens if you're on the bottom of the list?
Yeah, so what does happen?
That's a great question. Well, it depends. If you're on the bottom of the list, but you're fully qualified, nothing. You continue to serve. But if you're deemed not fully qualified by the board, meaning there's something you've done that's got you significantly, your performance is significantly lower than that of your peers, we're going to let you know. We're going to send you a letter and say your performance was below that of your peers. And we're going to bar you and flag you. Because when we board you again next year in the evaluation board, if it happens again, we're going to administratively remove you. And we need to do that. That's what our non-commissioned officers have been telling us. Right now, what we do is we refer them to another board. And then that board meets, which is a different group of people. And they assess all those people under a Q&P board. And it's not a very effective or efficient measure of doing things. So in order to maintain space and upward mobility for the most talented, it's going to be a true multi-use board from promotion at the top. And if necessary, you know, removal from the bottom.
You got to have that system in place to kind of call the field, if you will. Along with that letter that I'm going to receive, because I'm at the lower end of the spectrum here, is there going to be guidance in there for me to overcome that so I'm not going to get that go-home letter next year?
Well, that's the intent. You know, our job is to change behaviors.
Right.
To inform you that, hey, you have your performance was below that of your peers, and you are not fully qualified. Therefore, you need to change your behavior in order to overcome this. If you do, then that's fine. The next year you become fully qualified, then you continue to move forward. And if you don't, then we'll ask you to transition to be a soldier for life.
Well, that's fair enough. I think you've given me a year to fix myself. And if I don't, well, then that's on me. Yeah.
But the good thing is, back to the discussion of retention control points. Currently, right now, we use retention control points to kind of force that. If you and I are sergeant's majors and you're performing above your peers and you've just hit your 30-year mark, under current policies, you'd have to
go home.
You have to go home. Right? Yeah. That's your retention control point, unless you become a nominal sergeant major.
Right.
You can continue to serve. If you come out on that evaluation board and your performance is above that of your peers, there's no reason for you to go home.
So now if I'm at Fort Bliss, Texas, and I'm, we'll use my background. I'm a food guy.
Yeah.
Right? There's one slot there for a food service sergeant major. We'll say that at the installation level. So I can stay there as long as I'm performing well and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm up there or ahead of my peers, I can serve beyond that 30 as long, until somebody overcomes me.
I got to manage expectations now. You can't stay there forever. So as long as you're doing, meets the needs of the Army, first and foremost, because that's the number one thing. We're here to meet the needs of the Army. And your performance is above your peers. And there's nothing else limiting your ability to serve. You're fully deployable. You're fully capable. You're fully functional. All those things. Then, there's no reason for you to leave at 30 years. Why? Right?
Yeah.
Now, there are laws that say you can only serve to a certain age.
Right.
But if you're the best of the best, 92, the food service guy in the whole Army, why not?
Why not? That's what I'm talking about.
And that's what innocuous officers say. So this soldier's not doing their job. How come there isn't a way to get rid of them? And this soldier's performing above their peers, and why do I have to leave?
But he's reached his or her... And so they got,
I want to keep. So we're trying to fix both.
That's awesome, Dan. Long overdue, I think, because we've lost a lot of good people over the years. We probably didn't need to.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
We've kept some people, to be very honest. We've kept some people who probably didn't deserve to stay. And we've made some people leave that deserve to stay. And this is going to get time out of the mechanism. Well, not completely, but time is not going to be the primary means of how we manage talent. It's going to be talent.
I think that's long overdue. I think some of the comments that I've seen online so far since this has been released, about time. You know, why didn't, you know, I wish this would have been in place when I was in, you know, and I have to concur. I think it's great.
So you made me wait forever to become the Sergeant Major of the Army.
That's the problem.
That's still going to take a long time.
Those of you hopefuls out there, you still got to punch that ticket.
You still got to punch the tickets. That's right.
So I know we've touched on this a little bit, but can you kind of expand a little bit on what are the specific changes under this policy change? You know, what are some of the specifics, the meat, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to implement this over several years, over 3 years, right? Starting with our most senior sergeants majors. Talked about how we're going to remove the sequence numbers because these are not promotion boards. They're evaluation boards, right. We're going to do that now. And then all the boards going forward, you will no longer see sequence numbers. And you will start receiving your evaluation number with an ACT. There's a lot of other policy and procedures that go along with it. There's a lot of rules and regulations. But here's the good news. We're going to train all of our sergeant majors this June at the Senior Enlisted Training Leader Development Conference. All the current Sergeant Major Academy students are going to be trained before they leave. There's going to be a Army-wide training package that goes out, and we're going to do NCO professional development training sessions at every major installation for the next 2 years.
That's great. That's great. Get that word out. That's awesome.
And we got plenty of time to implement. 3 years, the Secretary and the Chief have given us plenty of time to implement, and we're doing it in a way that's not going to upset. Now, here's the good news. If you've got a sequence number now, the question is, well, wait a minute. Do I get to keep it? You do. So any other boards that are still enduring... they'll be grandfathered.
Remain. Okay.
But once you go into the new board cycle and you fall under the evaluation for that grade that year, you'll be subject to the new rule.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. At least now they know out there that what they have stands.
What they have stands. That's right. And then we will implement over the next course of years.
So can you walk us through the steps? Like what's going to be taking place this year, next year?
Troy,
summarize. I realize there's a lot involved here.
Yeah, and I'm afraid to go into intimate details because the spreadsheet on this thing is about 2 feet long. There's a lot of subject matter experts behind the scenes working these things for me. But bottom line, the things that I cover are generally it. So we're gonna implement with Sergeant Majors first, starting this year, and then the next first official NCAA evaluation board beyond that will be the Master Sergeant Selection Board, and then so on and so forth. The part I talked about where we're sending people notifications in the mail saying that you're not fully qualified, that doesn't happen until NCO 2020.
Okay? Oh, I got you. Okay.
But there are a lot of changes, all for the good, I promise you, and they're not too complex. But without me and all the information in front of you, I'm afraid to go in there and give somebody some wrong information right now.
But I can promise
you is the training package is coming. You're going to be fully educated, and those skill levels and those grades will be fully educated before you're even subject to the new board process.
Good. All right, great. And I think that'll appease the masses out there. So can you tell me how will HRC rank fully eligible NCOs? Strictly on merit. How are they going to do that?
Yeah. And that process really isn't going to change, Troy. We're going to use DAPAM 600-25. And I can't encourage non-commissioned officers enough to get into that regulation. We have worked very hard to make sure that the requirements written in there for each one of the skill levels and the MOSs is updated on an annual basis.
Right.
Feedback from Forces Command to TRADOC, which is the proponent for DAPAM 600-25. And that's what the board uses to assess you. Currently in the promotion boards and future in the NCO evaluation boards.
So yeah, I remember the boards I sat on, they in the past, I'm using the old terms, right, that they gave us the glide path, right? Mm-hmm. So this kind of lays out the glide path that they can follow.
Very clearly. And the boards are actually evaluated on their ability to assess based upon those parameters in DAPAM 600-25. Right. So before they can even start the evaluation board, previously called the promotion board,
right.
They do what is called a mock board process. They look at the requirements in DAPAM 600-25 for the board that they are assessing. And they are graded on their ability to do that consistently.
Right. And then they create what they needed. So, yeah, again, soldiers need to go to that DAPAM and become very familiar.
I can't stress enough. And if you haven't read that DAPAM for your MOS and skill level, shame on you, first of all. But go out and fix it and find it. And it's online. It's updated.
Right.
And you need to see what's written in there for your MOS.
So that answers the question about how they can prepare for it. So let's get into, you know, how – I know we've touched on a little bit for readiness and efficiencies and so forth, but can you expand a little bit more about – or expound a little bit more about how these changes are going to benefit the Army and the Corps?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think it's clear, and we've talked about it over and over again today, is that we are going to promote the best and literally promote the best. And it's not going to be time-based. It's going to be merit-based. And I think that's going to help us. It's going to help our Corps. We're also going to use this system to reinforce the current STEP system, the Select, Train, Educate, and Promote, because this is no longer a promotion board. It's an evaluation board. So if you want to get promoted, you got to be fully eligible, and you're not fully eligible until you go to school. And then lastly is we can use this for a multitude of things, assignments-based. I've told, and one of my guidance is, because I get to write guidance each year too, it's a promotion guidance.
Sure.
It's very simple. My overarching guidance is needs of the Army, needs of the soldier, needs of the family. And when you can meet all three, go ahead. But always refer to number one. Let's go back to you again. You're number one on that list, Troy, right?
Right.
Number one on there. And let's just say there's a requirement for you to get promoted for Sergeant First Class. You go to school, you get promoted to Sergeant First Class. And you want to go, let's say your duty station of choice is, where would you want to go?
Schofield Barracks, Hawaii.
Schofield Barracks, Hawaii. There's a food service Sergeant First Class position there, and it's open and valid. You want to go there. And it's a valid requirement for you. Then we'll send you.
And all I have to do is?
All you do is write in your ask. That's your assignment preference. And since you are the number one qualified individual and there's a valid requirement. Now, I don't want to set any false false hopes out here
right, for anybody.
There's got to be a requirement. This is a needs of the Army.
Sure.
Needs of the soldier and needs of the family. When you can meet number one first, always.
Right.
But if you can meet all three, go ahead. Right?
Go for it.
And now we have a true system that we can say, we use merit as a means to give you your assignment of choice if there's a valid requirement there for you.
You know, I remember the dream sheets, which rarely ever came true. So, you know, if I've earned it and there's a need.
That's right.
I get it.
That's right. Now, now not everybody's going to get what they want.
No. I understand.
That's right.
My chances are better.
That's right. Because if that was the case, there'd only be three Army boats.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Everybody would be in Hawaii, Vincenza, and Fort Carson, Colorado.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly right. Yeah. So, now, there's a lot of criticisms about the old system. So, now, does this new evaluation process kind of answer some of those criticisms?
I think it answers a lot of it. You know, again, I don't think what we have right now is broken. I just think it could be much better. And I think this will meet the needs of the Army of the future. Nothing's perfect. There will be flaws. But that's why we are going to take 3 years to implement, Troy. There is slight course correction ability within this. That's why important. I need your feedback on it. And I need everybody's feedback out there. Actively serving and our veterans, because they're very experienced in this field. Comments and feedback on what we need to do. Now, we've got a very good direction. I'm not saying that we're not heading into the unknown. We know what we're doing and we know where we're going, all right? But there is course correction capability within it because we're doing this over 3 years and we're starting with our most senior people.
Sure.
And from all perspectives, we're already doing this with our nominative level sergeant majors now, exactly how we're doing it. That's why we're doing it this way, because we've already started with them. But I can tell you, after several years of looking at this, and 30 years of experiencing it myself, like you, this is the right direction.
I fully agree. I like where this is going. I think it's going to be great. And I'm going to ask you one last question, and then I'm glad you mentioned that you want to hear feedback, because I'm going to put something out there. I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
My last question. I'm good for it. I know you are. So let's talk distributed learning. How is distributed learning going to impact this new process, this new evaluation system? Will it have an impact at all?
It will, and it's incorporated. Again, so this is all progressive and sequential. Troy, we have the best non-commissioned officer education system in the world.
Oh, hands down.
Hands down. Now, it's not perfect. It's not. No. I'll be the first one to admit that. But it is the best. And it is the envy of our allies and adversaries. I'm telling you, it is. And we are working hard to make it and keep it the best it possibly can be. DLC has to have a place in that future. And here's why. Previous to DLC or SSD, there was too many gaps in our institutional training. And it is extremely expensive. In large regard, we cannot provide the amount of training that we can in an institutional environment. We have all three compos that we're going to train exactly the same, 1, 2, and 3. And institutional training is from a resource and time.
Well,
expensive. Yeah, very expensive. So we looked at those things. Now, we can't train everything, DLC. There's some things that are best taught in a classroom.
Sure.
But there are things that can be taught through distributed learning. And the analysis shows that if you stimulate learning prior to the institutional training exercise, you help facilitate the institutional residential training.
I'll give Fair enough.
Young specialist Troy Welsh, before you go to BLC, we should stimulate you in leadership through distributed learning on leadership. So that way, when you get to the first day of class, the instructor can say, go to page 5 instead of page 1. We can also get after the mandatory training tasks that are required to us by Department of Defense regulation or law. Some of those things don't have to be taught in institutional environment, but they can be delivered. And they can be delivered simultaneously to 1.1 million users. I'll tell you, our online learning, although I do get a lot of criticism, and you know, is also the envy of a lot of professional institutional training organizations in America.
Well,
at the scale that we do it's very impressive.
I think it's very good. I've had a chance to look at some of it. I think it's very, very good.
Yeah.
And I can see where it would be the envy. Yeah.
That's right. And DLC is still going to be a requirement to be fully eligible. Right? Because these aren't promotion boards.
No.
I got to change the culture out there.
The evaluation
boards.
That's right.
You got to do your DLC and you got to go to school.
Well, you know, and that builds or makes that fully qualified individual.
That's right.
And you want to get promoted, you got to be fully qualified. And this is just part of that process.
And Troy, I'll tell you, there's nothing more important than ensuring that our non-commissioned officers are given the necessary training they need to lead our soldiers. And our soldiers absolutely deserve quality non-commissioned officers who are fully trained.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no supplement for that.
No.
And during the height of Iraq and Afghanistan, frankly, I personally think we made some mistakes. It was done out of necessity at the time, but you could be Sergeant First Class having only been a graduate of BLC. Now, who wants their son or daughter led by, at that level, that's only been a graduate?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
All right? The best non-commissioned officer in the Corps in the world deserves the best education.
Yes. They do. SMA, you're absolutely correct. And we owe it to our soldiers. We owe them that. We owe them that leadership. And we owe it to the leaders to train. We got to give them tools to be successful out there.
Absolutely.
So I think you've done it. I think you've given it all that they got to do is go get it. Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's there. It's available for them.
Well, and Troy, not to correct you, it wasn't just me. There's a lot of great people on this team. Yeah, a lot of great people.
Yeah.
Civilians and soldiers.
I don't want to slight anybody. So
absolutely. Yeah, and so many behind the scenes that have helped facilitate this over the last 4 to 6 years. An incredible amount of work from the senior enlisted council and all the senior 4-star level CSMs and our great Department of the Army civilians out here. Jerry Purcell, former retired Sergeant Major, one of them, just behind the scenes has been literally putting thousands of hours into this. And I think it's absolutely the right way to go.
Well, I think the team has done a great job.
Yeah.
I think it'd be awesome. Well, SMA, you mentioned earlier, you challenge people out there to ask you questions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it out there, podcast@ausa.org. Send all your questions in, because we'll get SMA back here to answer them, correct?
That's absolutely right.
Can I count on you for that?
Oh, you can count on me. I'll tell you what, and this isn't a request. This is a challenge, as Troy just said. You know, challenge me on this, all right? This is how we get better. Challenge me on what we're doing. Challenge me on the questions. There's a lot of I didn't talk about today, so that's good, though, because the questions will help us focus, you know, what the training package should look like for in the future. But here's the biggest challenge. Silence is consent.
Yeah. You don't say it, you must agree.
Add your questions, all right? And we will follow back up with you and answer every single one of them.
Absolutely. So, again, podcast@ausa.org. SMA, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on here and talk about this this very important topic. A lot of work, a lot of thought, a lot of effort's gone into this by you and your team. I think it's exciting. It's a new time for our Army. It's going to benefit everybody. I think it's great. Can't wait to have you back. I look forward to getting those questions out there. Any closing thoughts?
I'll just tell you is I can't thank the Chief of Staff and the Secretary of the Army enough. Fully supported throughout this whole process. And in order to do great things, you have to have great leaders, and we've got two of them at the top of the Army right now.
Whoa. Thanks again, SMA. Army strong.
Army strong.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining. Be sure to subscribe to Army Matters Podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked here for all Army Matters and for next week's episode with Army Real Talk. AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army and support for the soldier. For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit AUSA.org.